I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. Apes that ain't fool. All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with my man, Will. How are you doing, Will?
Great, Evan.
Did you enjoy your bye week?
As always, I self-scouted, and I found some problems with my diet, so I'm going to be a lean, mean fighting machine in several weeks.
Just some time to put on your winter layer in the holidays.
Well, I know. Actually, we have a wedding in a few weeks, and I was like, I literally can't button this jacket right now, and I guarantee that won't change by the time I get there either, but at least I'll feel less silly about it.
Well, it is Clemson week and homecoming, I guess, but NC State comes into the game a 10.5-point dog at home to Clemson. Did the bye week give you any more optimism?
Well, they released a depth chart and they're like carouseling the offensive line. So I don't know. I guess I'm a little concerned, right? Because they've got Jacarius Peake in at right tackle and his pass protection's been good. His run protection was not. So what does this mean? Are we going to pass every down? You know, did he need several weeks? Is he all of a sudden bigger? I don't know. They've been talking a lot about like Ant Smith this week, and he had a little media availability, so that's a good sign. There's, you know, scuttlebutt out there of some different formations and personnel rotations, so we'll find out on Saturday if it's anything to really get excited about. I feel like historically we don't really make massive changes out of the bye, but you know. I'm curious to see what happens. Being at home should help, and Clemson.
I probably should have led with this, given that is the biggest story of the week or the week past. But have you been? Did you go down to Miami and do some scouting and steal some signs for from the Clemson game for Dave and company?
Full disclosure: I have made a commitment to myself that if I had won the Powerball any of those times, it was over $1 billion, that I was going to go to Boo and be like, I want to set up the CIA for us, the Competitive Intelligence and Analytics Group at NC State. And I was like, we're going to send people to all these games. We're going to film signals. We're going to do a lot more in-depth scouting. Didn't realize that was a rule that we would be breaking. I did not.
I mean, that's crazy. The whole thing's crazy, but
the manifesto.
I also think it's blown out of proportion. Right. I think everybody is doing it. I think everybody's been doing it for a while. I told a story about in the pod chat today that I'm not going to rehash. It's there if you want to go read it, about what NC State used to do in various forms. And I'm sure there's still things like that are going on now. I mean, there's still a reason that all the practice facilities are surrounded by bushes and tarps and everything else, you know, 20-foot tall fences. It's just, I don't know. Like, it's at some point, I'm just like, why put radios into helmets? What are we doing? Like, why is this, you know, they're holding up pictures on the sidelines and there's 17 different guys. Just a complete waste of effort and resources. Like, put a little calm in the helmet. And let it be done with. Let the coordinators, coaches talk to the quarterback, to the middle linebacker.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's so weird to me.
I'm just, I think someone was like, well, what's next? When's someone going to break into the radio signal? I have not seen it. Does anyone know what, like, the cost of the two or three helmets that you would have the radio set in is? I mean, they make
the whole
it sound
thing can't
like
be more than 10 G's, which is nothing. It can't be.
Someone had mentioned some liability around injuries. Nonsense. You know, I was like, okay. I mean, the whole sport is a walking liability. Like, let's be real. I mean, my thinking is probably most of the blue chip programs out there are doing this in some capacity. And maybe it's not to as extreme as this was, but I mean, everyone knows that Clemson was doing this. Clemson was doing it in game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was super well known. That's a reason why all of a sudden, you know, right going in. Somehow Ohio State wasn't aware of this the first time they played, and then the next time they were, and then they changed it by doing these, like, quick huddle, I think they called them, like, sugar pops, and they would just run out of it really fast and go. And that's like, I mean, I would do that to Clemson all the time. It's clearly an issue. You know, there's ways around it, too. Like, if you don't want to do the headsets, extend the play clock slightly and let the quarterbacks jog over and get the sick, you know, get the play from the OC and let them jog back. If that's, I mean, if we want to be stupid about this. Yeah, I think it's funny. Like, every coach that's been asked about it has basically been like, well, yeah, if I can, like, look across the sidelines, I'm going to try to figure it out.
Sure.
So it is a part of the game to some degree. It's just either if it's a rule, then you're going to have to enforce this. And I'm curious to see what kind of death penalty they receive. Probably none. And if you're not going to enforce it, then get rid of the fucking rule and let people do this. I mean,
you know, it's ridiculous. Like, it's such a it's a stupid rule. And just people have been doing it for a long time. And especially now that everybody's got film from every different angle. Like, it doesn't take a genius to figure some of these things out. You know, you're holding up four pictures with cards. I mean, it doesn't take a wind talker to break the code. It's classic college football when they make a big deal out of something that's just so ridiculous. Because I'm pretty sure everybody's doing it. It's not just Michigan, right? And schools are acting like, Kirby Smart brushed it off. Because I'm sure he's doing the same thing or something similar.
I guarantee all the top-tier SEC teams are doing this. There's a reason they clean everyone's clock. And that's the thing is, like, it is an advantage. It clearly is. If you can figure out what the play is in advance and you've done enough homework and you can say this is the right coverage for this play, it's super helpful. So that's why I was saying, like, to your point, there's some simple ways to make it less impactful. And it's like, why are we doing this? At least the major conferences can be like, all right, here you go. Here's your headset.
It's
so dumb.
We had a coach selling a playbook, right? I mean,
like, yeah,
all sorts of dirty intel operations go on in this sport. There's too much money on the line for it not to be. These coaches are making millions and everybody around them is making fat salaries for a reason, right? There's too much money for them to just be, no, we're going to play by the book. Everybody's trying to find every angle possible. And like you said, Clemson has been doing it for years. Venables just all of a sudden just didn't figure out how to coach defense.
Right? Yeah.
Magically. Talk about their halftime adjustments for Clemson when they come out and they really understand what you're doing in halftime. Like, come on now.
Like, yeah. The answer is they were stealing your signals in the first half. They were putting them in a computer and then they would be staring at your sideline, running it through the computer and then telling you, Brent Venables, what to call. That's why he was always calling it in at the last second.
Yep.
And that's why anytime that anyone ran tempo, they were completely boned. So,
it's also why Dave Doran got pissed about the laptop on the sideline. It wasn't.
That's what I thought.
Like, he 100% knows it's just going on. And, you know, whether that laptop was used for it or not, let's not pretend that they weren't doing it already. You know?
Yeah. I wish he had just said it then. It's just like, yeah, they have that laptop because they're cheating. And he should have just said it right then. And they'd be like, you're spoiled milk or whatever. And he could have been like, no, they steal people's signals and that's what they're using the computers for. They're probably watching us beforehand and doing more stuff. I fucking hate Clemson. So it's a great week. Great week for this to be the topic.
It's the whole thing is, it's crazy to me. It's just so silly. And it's just, you know, college football in general. That's just how it is. Anyway, on to state. I don't know if Clemson will be stealing signs anymore. They haven't shown the propensity to be that good. Clemson is actually 7-6 in their last 13 games. They're coming back to earth.
I don't want to do that for us.
No, I do not want to do that for us. I have no interest in that. But Clemson is not the Clemson of old. They still have, obviously, talent, but, you know, I watched that Miami game and if I'm a Miami fan, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in Mario Cristobal to me. Like, they should have lost that game about four times just the way he coached it. They kneeled at the end of the game with a minute and 30 left on the clock. They ran it once and they're like, nope, we're going to go to overtime. Like, playing for overtime at home. It was just a weird move. And that whole game, I was just like, Clemson looks a mess. And then in overtime, I love that Clemson calls the they're on the six inch line and they go shotgun formation, and Klubnik decides to go rogue and keep it and run, as opposed to, you know, Dabo was like, no, we called a handoff, and he kept it. So he didn't even bother. He went rogue, tried to run outside, and lost about 15 yards as the Miami defensive end just destroyed him.
I just wish I understood what he was thinking there. I was listening to a pod before this, and they were saying that, well, he did something similar versus Wake, and it worked. And it's like, I feel like there's a slight difference between Wake Forest defense and Miami. Just a feeling. Also, before I forget, I just put in the chat, there was an article, March 21st, 22nd. Jesus Christ, 2022. Good grief, Will. From The Athletic about having headsets and microphones. And then they said another concern among some SEC coaches wasn't expressed publicly, but is suspected privately. Headsets would eliminate the ability to steal signals. The concept of stealing signals is an open secret in coaching, and some programs have elaborate operations. In a sport in which most rule changes benefit the offense, this would put the sides on the same level of an issue. And then, told of the suspicion, David Shaw said it was comforting to hear someone admit to it. And then Brett Bielema said, there are certain places that put a premium on stealing signals, and that gets some people known as great play callers, but you can be a great play caller if you know what the other player is doing. One of those balancing things. You might not be able to get all the information you want. Now you have to call the game with some doubt and trust in your preparation and your players. Boy, that's weird. that's weird coming from these guys.
That's a great find.
Yeah. Boy, a little Googling. I went for it.
2004, the date on this thing, the Big Ten experimented with radios in the helmets. 2005 is what they said. Oh, no, never mind. That was something else. Replay. Yeah. They're just saying that they can turn it around fast. They went from no replay to replay in less than a year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like this. I mean, hey, man, the CW is already breaking the technology wide open with the ref cam, okay? You're about to get exposed to greatness. That helped with an interception this weekend with UVA UNC. I don't buy this whole cost thing. It's nonsense. The conferences can pay for it. It's like probably like four helmets a season. It's nonsense. Maybe it's different if you have all kinds of different colored helmets, whatever. I don't care. It's a billion-dollar industry. You guys can figure it out. Yes, Clemson, Miami. That was just a wild end to that game. I think on that last overtime, I don't even think Miami threw the ball. I think they just ran the ball like five straight times and scored, which is wild to me. It's just hard to think of a Clemson defense that can be just run on to that capacity. I know they've got some injury issues, and there's all kinds of stuff going on with them. 10 fumbles lost this year. I think 7 of them were Klubnik, if I saw that correctly. So,
wow.
You know, if we can get pressure, I think this is a game that benefits us. But, you know, it's still going to be like Clemson of old, I think, with us. Because, quite frankly, like, we don't have any difference makers that we have been playing aside from, like, Casey and a couple others on offense. So, if we're not going to stress them, I'm afraid this is going to be a mud fight kind of game. But it's so hard to believe. 7-6 over 13 games. I don't know. Maybe DJU wasn't the problem.
Clearly wasn't the problem. I mean, clearly wasn't the problem. They haven't looked like it, right? They don't have the Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins or Mike Williams, right? They just don't have that guy anymore. Even Amari Rodgers. The Hunter Renfros, right? They don't have that guy that is going to, you know, scare you. They've always had that, and they don't anymore. And I think it's just wild. And Somebody put in the chat, there's a question. How happy does it make you that the Tigers haven't really been nationally relevant since Shipley said he needed to play with championship caliber players like they have?
Oh, I can tell you what. I was thinking about it all week.
I love it. I love it. Right? He's not going to win. That was his reasoning. That was his whole deal. And he's not going to win one. He's not going to win a ship.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Did they get to the playoff at all with him there? Did they sneak in 1 year?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yes. The 2 years COVID ago? Year. I think the COVID year he might have been there. That might have been his first year. Whatever. Who cares? I don't remember. Know what? He told us to F off so he can F off.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. I'm looking at their schedule real quick. I guess, honestly, if we just look at it objectively, Clemson is us with a better running back, and that's it.
Better offensive line, maybe. The
offensive line has a bunch of injuries, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, they're not good, but.
So that means, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's what's crazy is, like, they should have so much talent on that team. It really is hard to believe that, you know, Garrett Riley walked in the door and probably thought, I'm going to have all this talent, and then was like, oh, I don't.
I mean, you need to have a quarterback that any offense, right? I think it comes down to you have no chance if you don't have a quarterback, and Klubnik has just not figured it out yet. And, you know, it's very much analogous to NC State. It's, you know, MJ hasn't figured it out yet. I think both of them have talent, but have they, you know, have you seen what they could really do? I don't think so. And I think that shows up in the offensive production. Both of them look pretty poor. And they're both leaning on the running game. You know, Clemson's got a better running game, so that might be the difference. I don't see, you know, 10.5 points here. I think it's going to be like a 10-3 game or 13-10. It's going to be stupid.
Yeah, I was honestly a little surprised by that line. They're also missing the wide receiver that just came back and a safety. I was just trying to look at their scores real quick while we're talking, right? Like, it was like 17-12. Sorry, I'm looking away from the mic. I know this drives you nuts. let me put this over here on this screen. So they got boat raced by Duke, but that one was kind of an aberration with all those fumbles. But hey, you know, they've been doing it throughout all these games. They lost by 7 to Florida State. I think that was an overtime. They won by 5 against Wake. They lost by 8 here. Like, aside from Syracuse, who they beat 31-14, you know, no other ACC team have they won by this big of a margin according to this point spread. So I guess I was a little surprised to see that. It was at 10 when I last looked. So has that changed?
It's 10 now. I saw it at 10.5 in one of my pick 'em pools is what I was last looking at. The over-under is 43.5, which I feel like the under is a solid play there.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. NC State is 1-5-1 against the spread. Clemson is 2-5-0 against the spread. So
you said we're 1-5-1 this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 1-5-1 against the spread. Clemson is 2-5-0 against the spread. So neither one of us do very well.
It is killing me that Brennan Armstrong is still listed on ESPN as our rushing leader and passing leader.
Oh, God. Like, that's so gross. Oh,
that's so funny.
That's so gross. We did have a little insight into practice this week, and Brennan Armstrong did throw a deep bomb to Ant Smith.
Unstoppable.
Let's go. It's 2 weeks in a row of positive Ant Smith news.
I'm telling you, might as well just start Brennan Armstrong.
Oh, God.
Apparently, he's the only one that throws a catchable ball.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go back to him no matter what. I don't see any world where... how bad does MJ have to be for them to go back to Brennan?
Dude, it would not surprise me. Like, let's say there's a hypothetical where we're up, like, 21-7 or 21-10 or something, you know, something like that. Got a kind of, like, a score and a half. I bet they put him in, and I bet they go run heavy. It just wouldn't surprise me at this point. I don't think they're going to put him in a position to throw, but it just wouldn't shock me if there's short yardage situations on the goal line or if they want to try to salt the game away. I mean, he is a better rusher basically than everyone on the team except for KC. So maybe if you give me a backfield of BA, KC, and Michael Allen, and then we just triple option our way out of this. You know, maybe that's maybe that's the tweak.
How, I mean, I would think some kind of option concept would have worked their way in already, just based on how bad the offensive line has been. And I know that's a different blocking scheme and whatnot, but, you know, run some speed outs or, you know, speed options or whatever, just to get the guys to the corner and get away from the lines.
Well, they did it versus VMI. And so I thought it was actually going to, I was like, well, why are we spending time running these plays? Right. And then we never saw it again, basically. And we've definitely seen that with, even with MJ in the past, they did a little bit of it last year. So yeah, I'll be curious. I don't know. There was a, you know, the quote from Dave today was, we need to have elite toughness. And I can't remember how he phrased it, but he basically was like, I was showing them examples of elite toughness on Sunday. And so I'm curious if they just put the highlights of like, Brennan Armstrong diving for extra yards and then put MJ up there sliding and,
sliding just short of the sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way short of the sticks.
You know, that's another one that looked kind of like the angle might be a little deceiving. It looked to me like that Duke player was about to, like,
clobber his head off.
And I hate to remind everyone that Duke was the team that broke Devin Leary's ankle on a slide with a targeting.
In career,
basically. And I'm sure, I don't know. I'm not going to complain about him taking a slide there. He's not a linebacker playing quarterback. He's a quarterback. So I just thought that was a weird take coming out of that game. But, yeah, I'm curious. I think you can just delete that last 5 seconds. But I love that he gave me my heads up that it was, like, their best Tuesday of the year or something like that. And so that's always a sign that we're about to come out and beat some ass. So, you know, I think Tootle called it a gnarly week of practice. So, I think guys are going to be flying around a bit. Now, that may mean that they're making mistakes, but maybe they're going to play fast and it'll be okay.
The bye week always gives me a bit of optimism. I don't know what it is, you know, and it's kind of the same thing as preseason. Come out and like, oh, you know, the guys are ready to go. Guys are flying around. They're doing these things, you know, and you can get all excited. You're like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going all the way. Like, bye week does the same thing to me. It has the same effect where you know, start to think, all right, maybe they turn a corner. Maybe they figure something out. Maybe they've, you know, pared it down and, I don't know, figured out how to coach or something, got new players. Whatever it may be, like, you just feel like the optimism is there, and you start seeing the lineup, the depth chart change. You know, there's optimism there. But one of the questions we got was, how much can the offense actually improve during the bye week? What do you think about that? How much better can the offense get?
Well, here's the only caveat I would say. Like, the offense could be better, and it may not, like, put a ton of points up because we're in that stretch right now from Duke to Clemson and Miami where it's reasonable to expect that those were probably going to be lower-scoring games anyways, right, because the defenses are better. I think what I'd love to see is less stupid penalties. I don't want to see a wide receiver false start. I'd like to see the line not false start. I like to just keep us on schedule because we didn't do that against Duke and it looked bad. And hopefully I'm not lagging like crazy on your end because my video
You're fine.
Okay. I get the feeling that Ant Smith is going to be a little bit more involved. And we've been saying even if he's a decoy, he's a threat. And so I'm curious to see, are they going to pair him up with Timmons and others and try to put, you know, kind of a explosive play package on the field more often? Are we going to, you know, have Vereen in the game? And are we going to do less tight end work? Or are we going to do more tight ends, but they're actually going to be in the passing game only? Like, I don't know. Things should be a little bit better. Hopefully MJ looks sharper. Hopefully the guys know where to line up, like that sort of thing. I mean, It's interesting because Doran was saying, they were asking him about the bye week, and he's like, well, we didn't even focus on Clemson until this week. And really, he was like, we got three extra practices, I think, is what he said, to work on ourselves. So I'm curious what can be accomplished in three practices. But anything's got to be better than what we just saw at Duke. So, yes. Huge improvement by those standards.
Mad gains, is that what you're saying? Mad gains. Yes. Huge gains.
Yes.
You know, going into it, and the conversation pretty much everywhere has been, what are we going to do the rest of the year, right? And after the Duke game, I'm like, I could see us losing the rest of the games. I could see us, the likely scenario is losing the rest of the games and beating Carolina, because that just seems to be the way things work out. You know, Wake is bad. We're playing at Wake. Virginia Tech's bad. We're playing at Virginia Tech. And, you know, Clemson, Miami, Carolina, the other three. And it's just, I don't know what to expect.
I got a theory. We're going to win two or three of these games. We're going to get bowl eligible. Dave's going to say, Tony, here's your shot. And then Tony's going to get to coach all the bowl week. And Dave's going to retire. And we're going to find out if we're getting a new coach or if we're hiring Tony as the head coach. That's, I think, an actual scenario that could occur.
All right, so the NC State team total for the game, 16.5 points, over or under.
Oh, my God. That's right where I was going to say. I was going to say 17, so I guess I'll go over.
Yeah, I'm going under.
Well, hold on. Yeah, so I guess. But if you go under there and you're like 15, what was the total? It was like 43-something, right?
43.5.
Okay.
They got Clemson at team total points, 27.5.
Okay. Yeah, so that puts it right at it. Okay. Man, I'm going over. Screw this, man. Clemson's bad. How could they have any confidence after Klubnik did that to them? They're missing their wide receiver again. They're missing a safety. Dabo doesn't know how the transfer portal works. Like, geez. Dakari Collins. It's the Dakari Collins game.
Dakari Collins revenge game. How did we miss bringing that?
He's brought the playbook. He grabbed everything. He's got all the signals.
How did we miss that? It's so obvious.
Oh, man. I guarantee you his ass is going to be in the game way more than you thought was possible.
Like five snaps. Five snaps.
He's going to be honorary captain.
Here's another question we got. Do y'all think the three-year stretch is a hiccup for the Clemson-Dabo era, or are we seeing the end in real time? What's next for Dabo?
Well, so I was just listening to the IPS podcast with the Clemson beat writer, and he was saying the problem for them has been Dabo, because of all the crap he basically said about the collectives, they have no collectives there. They have, like, no collective money, and that's what's been hurting them. So if that changes, I could at least...
Is that right? Because they had their number two in the athletic department leave, and this was a year or two ago, leave to go head of the whatever Tiger Collective it is.
I'm trusting the beat writer here.
Yeah.
And what he said is they do a good job when people are there and they get them in touch with, like, their brand service or something like that. But he was saying it's kind of a problem for them as far as getting transfers, and recruits now, because they're not willing to do what collectives do, which is do the job of the schools and actually pay these athletes. So if they keep that posture up and they don't get that fixed, then yeah, I think this is like a real reality for them where they might, I mean, you had Trevor Lawrence and you still came up short 1 year, right? So like, I just think it's more feasible for them to be like a 9-3, 10-2 type team, especially
if they come back to reality. I mean, I think it's, they have always been, you know, 9-3, historically 8-4 program. And unless you hit on a Deshaun Watson or a Trevor Lawrence or some, you know, a few other elite guys, I mean, they have an ETN and some elite skill players. But unless you can consistently hit on them, I don't think you are going to sustain it. Like, they're the closest thing we have to the SEC around here, but I don't think they are. I don't think Dabo is prepared for this new era in terms of NIL. And he's already expressed his hate for the portal. And we've talked about this last time when somebody brought the Dave question and the culture. Dabo is a culture guy, the same, well, not the same as Dave, but you know, the same concept as Dave, is they want to build a culture. They want their guys to buy in. They want their, you know, their dudes to stay around, but that's just not how this it works anymore. And he hasn't adjusted. I don't know if Dave is starting to adjust. It seems like he's starting to adjust a little bit, but I don't know what's next for Dabo. Like, he was in line for the Bama job, but there's no way that happens now unless they have a magical run next year. But I guess NFL, like, that's why I see a lot of these guys going. You don't want to do the portal. You don't want to do,
what value is he in the NFL though? Dabo.
He was a DB's coach, or maybe he's a good DB's coach. I don't know. Like, or maybe he just retires. He's making $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Like, goes and sits next to Urban and Dan Mullen in the booth and commentates. He's probably a pretty good commentator because he's just got that preacher personality, you know?
It's Mac Brown 2.0.
Yeah. I don't think he will coach as long as Mac. I don't think he's long for it. I think this is the decline of Clemson unless they somehow figured out how to land another, you know, Deshaun Watson that can carry them, or Trevor Lawrence that can carry them.
I mean, you can draw a direct line from when Ohio State said these guys are cheating and stealing our signals to, boom, the cliff all of a sudden occurred for them. The cliff being, oh, they're a 9-10 win program. But that's all it takes, and everyone has slightly adjusted to that. And I'd also say, too, like, with NIL and all that stuff, right, it's just a recruit here, a recruit there. You just need a couple little talent losses, and it has an impact for these big elite programs where all of a sudden they don't have that massive edge. So, to me, it's not surprising. I mean, you know, you miss on
– sorry. Yeah, my weird theory with Clemson is that they have been really good – right, they've been a fantastic program for the last 6 to 8 years, whatever the run has been, right, when all this stuff is changing. And their fans have expected that to maintain rather than being thirsty and saying, all right, we need to pump money into more players, even though we know they've been doing it already. But, you know, organized, collective, I almost feel like it's going to happen anyway for us, right? Because we're Clemson. We're gonna get these guys. We're going to be a top five program. And then you don't put that thing together. You don't put that money together. You don't start getting players. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is caught up to your, you know, church money scheme. I think it's a real, like, you know, Clemson set themselves back. And this is what we talked about years ago when this whole thing started with the NILs, like, you better get your shit together and get ahead of it. And I don't think Clemson got ahead of it. And I think it's paying. I think it's showing now. You know, they've always had defensive talent. And, you know, they lose Venables and his sign-stealing game. And they are a more human defense, right? They're beatable. They're more vulnerable. But they also don't have those – I don't think they have the Christian Wilkins and the
– Do you know what's crazy, man?
Knucklehead, like, from up the road here.
They were number Dexter three Lawrence in composite ranking in 2020. They were number five the next year. They were number 10 the next year. They were number 16 the year after that. And I think this year they're – what are we in, 23? They were 11th. And then the 24 class, which is the next one coming up, right? They're 16th. There's plenty of talent there.
Yeah, like, but I don't know if it's the right talent, though.
But that's what I'm saying, though, right? Is, like, if you're telling me that you can have the 5th best, the 3rd best, the 10th best, the 11th best, the 15th best, and 16th best classes in 5 years, and you're not having enough good talent, like, what does that say? Is either the recruiting system's either flawed, or haven't evaluated guys, they're not developing guys, or... like, the key people are gone, right? The Tony Elliotts are gone. The Brent Venables are gone. Like, the guys that made that thing hum aren't there anymore. The only one that's there is the preacher.
Yeah, and they've been doing it. Clemson has been, well, we're going to promote from within. We're going to keep our guys. You know, Garrett Riley's the first guy that brought in from a long time that has been outside the church family there. And I think it shows. But I think they don't have what's the difference between Clemson and Florida State right now? One, they have Florida State's got a senior quarterback, but also Florida State's got Keon Coleman.
Yeah, wide receivers.
Yeah, they've got Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. Clemson doesn't have either one of those guys. And it shows. I think that is a huge – those three components are a huge difference. They've missed on Klubnik, or they didn't develop Klubnik fast enough, and they did not get somebody for him to throw the ball to. They don't have the dynamic playmakers anymore. So you can have a lot of talent, which they do. They have a lot of defensive talent, a lot of guys that, you know, State recruited to, Nate Wiggins, a bunch of those guys that we were after. Clemson lands them, but they just don't have the dynamic playmakers that they used to. I don't know if they're going to put it back together.
Why should our less talented team beat them this weekend?
I have no idea. That's like, I have no idea. I don't know, right? If we do beat them, it's like you said, they turn the ball over. But I'm sure we have, but I don't know how much of that is on Armstrong. I'm not sure. I mean, MJ
threw some picks several games ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's because it's at home, maybe. But they're very equally flawed teams. I don't want to say they're equally matched teams. I think they're equally flawed. I think both teams have the same problems. And, you know, who is going to be more disciplined? Who's going to not hurt themselves? It's hard to say because I watched us play Duke and lose to a guy through four completions while we were just having false start after false start and penalty after penalty. And then I watched Clemson do the same thing at Miami. So I don't know. I go into this game thinking, you know, maybe the bye week helped us and there's some optimism there, but that's outside of that. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. There's a lot of hope here, and you know what hope does. Hope does for State fans.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, right, is I don't think we've seen a phase, you know, a game yet where we've had all three phases click at the same time. And that's what we're going to need. We're going to need a perfectly executed game or well-executed game. And, you know, you just have to hope that right now Clemson's lost confidence in certain players, has doubts. Maybe certain guys are looking around thinking maybe I should transfer. You know, you just have to hope you can capitalize on the doubt right now. This is a game where it would be great to have a Julian Gray return or something like that. Just we're going to need to win somewhere on like the hidden yardage, fumbles, things like that, like ending drives, but I mean, we'll see.
Here's some questions. One, I think we just answered this one. Any confidence in the team? I got some confidence. I know our defense is capable of putting up, you know, a really strong performance that keeps us in games. My question, it comes down to the, you know, offense, obviously, and what did they change on the bye week? Did they simplify things? Did they, you know, get MJ some better understanding of what he's supposed to be doing?
Give me eight targets to Ann Smith. That's all I ask.
Yeah, and do they, they change the depth chart. Do they change the rotations?
Yeah. I'd love for them just to lean in and just say, okay, like, we're going to play these young guys. I mean, Clemson's going to be playing up. There's going to be a lot of press. It's going to be physical. So, yeah. I mean, it's just a 50-50 game. Not even that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're underdogs. So, do I expect us to win? No. I just want to look. I want to see, like, some positive steps forward because I don't think Clemson's invincible. I don't think Miami's invincible. And so if you sneak one out between these two, right, it can be a very different end of season run. That's, optimistic, but not crazy, I guess is how I feel.
Why is Keon the Saint still starting?
I don't know, man. You're just like wasting it down. I'm just so tired of piling on Keon the Saint. It's on the coaches at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not
his
fault.
Yep. Play some of the other guys. I mean, play some more of your playmakers. Same thing we've been asking for. If we see that out of this bye week, then that's where my optimism comes from. If they roll out there and you see some different personnel, different lineups, then I'd be a little bit more optimistic, you know. But
just don't run him on the sideline. That's my only issue. His best play that I can remember is Wake Forest, and it was like a seam route. And, you know, just put him there instead of floating those deep balls to him. That's what I'd like to see.
Last question. How do you justify not making a change at the top with a 14-44 versus Power 5 or 500 or better record and 4-25 in the ACC with a winning conference record? I mean, I get where that question's coming
from. Didn't we do the math?
I get where the question's coming from. A lot of frustration. I still go by the feeling that you, I think we'll see a change at the end of the year. I think Dave's done. And we've talked about this ad nauseum, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But I don't think Boo's going to have to be in the position to have to make a change. Right? I think hopefully he gets his two wins, which is still obviously up in the air. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to go down that road where we've talked about it before. Maybe I'll save that for another pod. But
yeah,
you know, it's demanding more. It comes down to demanding more and raise your expectations.
Yeah, but I'd also say, right, I think we like looked at those numbers a year or two ago, and it's like, okay, well, like Clemson makes up like 10 of those losses.
Yeah,
and Florida State was like 5 of them or whatever it was, right? And so those are justifiable. And so that kind of changes those numbers a little bit. But I mean, the reality is it's tough to beat good opponents consistently, because if you are, then you're usually pretty good, and then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So it's like
the bigger stat to me is missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, no division titles, no championships, et cetera. We know that. So we know those numbers, but missed opportunities is the one that really kind of stands out to me. Like the ACC this year is winnable by all accounts. I mean, Florida State's good, but they haven't been good for long, right? They've slowly built up to this. But who's second in the ACC right now? Carolina just lost to Virginia at home. I mean,
yeah.
Duke's completing 4 passes and relying on their defense. You know, that's Louisville. Should have beat Louisville. Don't throw a bad pick at the end of the game. You really have a chance to win that game. Like, there's nobody in the league that scares me. And that's the metric I'm looking at. What's your missed opportunity rate? And for us, it's 100%. And that's the part I'm like, and it could have been, and it's avoidable, which is a problem, right? Addressing the offensive line, addressing the playmakers at the skill positions, that stuff is avoidable. You can do that in the offseason. You can go and, you know, bring in a whole bunch of FCS starting offensive linemen and get serviceable lines out of that. So that's to me, it's the missed opportunity number. I need to figure out a better way to quantify that, because I think that's what's going to, that would resonate with folks. And I think that is, to me, the real, you know, stat here and all this, missed opportunities. And when you boil it down, it's just, you know, we've had chances and everybody else in the league has capitalized on it to a degree, you know, all the way down to Duke, Wake, they've won conference or division titles, missed opportunities. And that's what it's going to define. You know, we look back on Dave's tenure, whenever it ends this year or in the future, it's missed opportunities. And yeah. I don't think that's being unfair. I think a lot of people will say that, man, what could have been? You know, he did a lot of good things. He's doing a lot of good things with the program. But damn, just not adjusting fast enough and not preparing for the future fast enough. And just missed opportunities.
Yeah, I think what the long-term thing that frustrates me is it's the dumb losses. It's the losses to Louisville when they threw up just two-shot put balls, right? Or same thing with Duke, right? You win those two games, and we're 6-1.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like a completely different thing. And you can still be questionable, as we have been throughout most of this year, if, like, it's just not that hard. It's not that hard to beat an elite defense that doesn't have the good offense working for it. And so it's just never having kind of put them all together at the same time is frustrating. Yep. I will say, like, you know, if you find this record unacceptable or not, at least in the short term, like, if you've got money, donate to a collective and try to help with the buying of the players, because, you know, we're probably going to need it to some degree. I don't think FCS linemen are that expensive. Right? I think someone posted on IPS, it was like all the offensive line transfers this year in the ACC. And like 80% of them were from nobody teams. It wouldn't have cost you anything. And so that's where I say, for most of the players, you don't have to spend a ton of money. But having money to go get a special wide receiver or running back or something like that, quarterback, that's going to go a long way. So it's like letting teams beat us with layups is kind of how I feel about the Dave Doran era. So many good wins for the most part, but so many dumb, avoidable losses that really took away special opportunities for us. Like, everyone's going to go back to that Wake Forest game with Jamie Newman. I mean, just again, like, if we're sitting here 6-1 this season with this ACC, you're kind of going, oh man, like, we have a chance again.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks, like, Dave's like, I don't want to hang it up with this conclusion. But I think they're going to have to change things. And, you know, James was saying on our last pod with him that 25K scholarship thing's going to end and it's going to help them free up the roster and things will be different. Yeah. That's why I keep thinking maybe he's got one more ride in him where he's like, okay, we're going to go at this and, like, we're not going to have any of the dead weight like we had previously.
Yeah, and he's got Jonathan Taylor coming in.
What'd you say?
Yeah. He's got Jonathan Taylor coming in, like, the best athlete he's had since 90 months.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just feel like if, again, I hate saying it because it's so bullshit that it's got to be the fans to do this, but it's like, if we give you a little bit more money, are you all of a sudden going to get better players and this is going to turn around and you're going to be the Dave that we've wanted you to be all this time? Maybe. But, I mean, you're asking a lot for us 11 years in to, you know, to change like that. Now, I say that, I'm going to donate to a collective tonight, so I'm falling
I wish they would have let me help them with their website. It's been so disjointed from the beginning, and I know you have asked about donating monthly and all those other things, and other people have, and they just, well, we haven't had that ability to. And like, these are simple, fundamental things that somebody who knows how to set up should be able to do. And I told y'all from the beginning, I told in the pod chat, we've talked about it extensively. Like, I could drive a lot of business to that website from from state fans if it was done properly, right? And I just, it's the amount of smart technical people around that are associated with the university, and, you know, it shouldn't be an excuse for that. It seems weird to me that they've been handcuffed by so many limitations in that area.
Yeah, but I think they tried to play it too safe at times, and I think, you know, they said they're working towards having, like, more experiences available to kind of purchase, like we've been talking about. There may be, like, a consolidation further of the collectives to make it more streamlined. We were bringing this up earlier, but there is a way to donate monthly to these. You just have to hit a couple boxes, and all of a sudden you can do it. And, you know, just to make a small point, I think they've had, like, 20 new donors in the last 24 hours after we found out that they could do monthly donations. So there's, you know, all you need is like 1,000 people to really change the game, right? You know, 1,000 people given $50 a month, that's a game changer, right? And it's attainable. Hard. And so I think and that's what they're shooting for. And I just think the problem is the message isn't getting well out there. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe we'll
if somebody from the Pack of Wolves is listening, reach out. Let me help. Let me help. This is what I do for a living. I make a lot of people a lot of money on the web.
Well, I'll give you some contacts, Evan, and you can reach out to them. And you can save the day. And then you can tell them that they just have to call us the official podcast of NC State.
I mean, like, listen, how many people would listen to a – would donate to listen to a podcast with, like, Gopher Tom or somebody else talking about – I'm sure he's got stories or somebody else on the inside that is, you know, here's what we're, you know, here's what we're doing, or here's what we're looking at, or, you know, even if it's a little more vague. And I know they probably don't want to give out too much information, but the interest would be there, and you could drive a lot of revenue from something like that. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of ways to do it.
I mean, I don't know how it works, but it's like, I made a point on IPS the other day where I was saying, look, okay, it's really nice to have like these auctions and things like that. That's cool. Raffles, things like that, right? But like, if you've got an auction and you've got five people bidding on something and we're going between 400, 500, 600, right? And you end up at 600, but there were four people that were going to pay 500 for it. That's a bunch of money that was just missed, right? And so sometimes I think if they could make it a little bit more transactional, you know, like there's got to be a way to get like 20 more helmets ordered and 20 more jerseys. And just put them up and say, if you want these, buy them. And the price is $400, $300, whatever. And then if you're a part of this club, you know, you can select one person to autograph it. And if you're part of the higher tier of donor, you get five people. And then if you want the entire side of the ball, like whatever, right? There's stuff there. And so maybe the difficulty is like trying to coordinate that with the universities and they have to be out of this, but there's got to be a way to be talking with Adidas and I can't remember who makes the helmets, right? And you say, hey, we're going to order our 85 times whatever we do for different helmets throughout the year. And then, you know, you're going to happen to have extras around that an NC State affiliated group is going to buy. And you're going to give it to them at the same rate. And that's, you know, you just got to get a little bit more creative. And I know there's some limitations with like the number of sideline passes you can have and things like that. But, you know, could we do sideline passes, but it's for the visitor team's tunnel and we can just boo them as they come out? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like just something weird that it's out there. But I would just say, like, I was telling them in one of these auctions, I was like, the on-field for the tunnel run out pass was like the coolest thing I've ever had as an NC State fan. And it was a great experience to share with my wife. And it's something that I wish more fans had a legitimate opportunity to buy and gain that access. And I think there's a way to get there. And I think the work, you know, if the concern is like, oh, we'd be too overwhelmed, we have too many things. It's like, I'd rather have that problem than this other one, which is we don't have enough donors.
Right.
You know, so anyways, we'll get off the stump about it, but you know, we'll talk with Tom or Chris. I think there's a guy, Chris, who's running Pack of Wolves. Like, we'll just make it a little bit easier. And you'll find the money. It's there.
All right. That's all I got. The State covers. I don't know if State wins. I'm going to say 14-10. I don't make score predictions often, but I feel like it's going to be pretty.
Who's the 14?
Nasty. I don't know.
Wow. True leadership over here. I'm going, what would be a weird score? I was going to say 18, but I was like, I don't know. If
14,
five field
13.
Goals realistic or whatever that is.
No, somebody six. Kicks a field goal when they shouldn't. 14-13.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like this is, oh my god. What was the score of the Bambard game? It's going to be that, but in reverse.
24-16 or something like that?
Yeah. I think we had like 8 turnovers on them that game or something. It was something insane. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man.
Get the club, Nick. Make them do stupid things. Make them think. Show them different looks. Confuse them. Get them go off script, and you got a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, if they struggle in front of 15,000 Miami fans, you'd think the 60,000 NC State fans would be a difference.
I hope so. All right, that's all I got. Y'all enjoy your Halloween. Watch the Pack and go Pack.
Go Pack. I was raised by the waves.